As I said, continuing in the series of precious things of God, today I want to look at God's precious promises. God's precious promises that are mentioned there in the verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Richer than millionaires. That's what the Christian can claim to be. Some might say, but how is that possible? How can the Christian be richer than a millionaire? After all, the millionaire has an expanding bank balance. No doubt lives in a beautiful building, a beautiful mansion of a house or a home. Then he has two or three cars and enjoys exotic vacations in different parts of the world. That's right. Christian may not have any of those things. But what did the Lord say about that rich businessman? Remember? He had a great harvest. And he had nowhere to bestow his goods. His barns were filled. And he said, what shall I do? And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I will build greater. And I will eat, drink, and be merry for many years. He had all that he wanted. But what did God say? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who shall those things be that you have all your riches and all your possessions? God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I was ministering in Ulster. There was a wee woman, Mrs. McEwen. Used to visit her often. And it seemed to be that every time I did visit her, sometime during the conversation, she would say, you know, there are no pockets in a shroud. In other words, she's saying, you can't bring what you have with you. And that is so true. And that's what the Lord was teaching here. But for all of this man's riches, all of his possessions, he must leave them all behind. And he passed out into eternity as a bankrupt soul. And what of the Christian? I still say, the Christian is richer than a millionaire. Because we possess things that money, silver and gold cannot buy. All that the millionaire has is earthly and temporal. But all that the Christian has is heavenly and eternal. We are surrounded by precious things. Things that money cannot buy. Salvation. Can money buy salvation? No. Salvation? All the gold in Ophir. All the money that's stored in the banks of the world cannot purchase salvation. And can never prepare a soul for eternity. Money cannot do that. We are redeemed. Redeemed. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. You're redeemed not with silver and gold. You can't buy salvation. Christ purchased salvation for us when he shed his blood on Calvary. And here Peter speaks about the precious blood of Christ. And the moment we were saved, the moment we were redeemed, we met a friend. A friend who cannot be found with silver and gold, cannot be bought. For you can never buy a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no friend like the Savior. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. He is that precious friend. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And so we're redeemed by the precious blood. We have in Christ a precious friend and precious Savior. And then, as we noted last week, 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, we read, the word of the Lord is precious. So we're saved, we're redeemed by the precious blood. We have in Christ a precious friend. And we have before us in God's word a precious word. None of these things can money buy. We're richer than millionaires. And see how the Christian is surrounded by precious things. And here is another. And that's verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So we have all these things that are precious, and none of them can be bought by silver and gold. Millionaires cannot buy these things. So we are richer than millionaires. Regarding precious promises, one is to first of all notice that they are God's promises. They're God's promises. As we can see from the verse 3, the promises are from God, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things, and pertain unto godliness through knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. He has given us all things. He has given the promises. And so we see, first of all, then they are divine promises. The promises spoken of by Peter are not the promises of men. They are the promises of God. They're divine. And that surely makes them precious, because they come from God. The promises are the sacred utterances of God himself. And that means that the utmost wealth of heaven, the utmost wealth of heaven for us, is only a prayer away. Claiming God's promise. What God is able to do is at our disposal, as it were. For in this book, God's holy word, God has given us promises for every situation that we may face in life. God gives us his promises, and we're to claim them. As I said before, Spurgeon said regarding God's promises, He says, claim them, don't frame them. It's good to look at a promise, and there's a great promise there. But the Spurgeon says, claim the promises of God, and we claim them at the throne of grace. We all remember the first promise. We pleaded, and God fulfilled it. What was that first promise? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, the night and the day that we got saved, we claimed that promise. We asked the Lord to save it. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was fulfilled when the Lord saved us. And regarding our salvation, didn't he give us another one of his precious promises? John 10 verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. And then he went on and said, these are the words of Christ himself, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's not a matter of being saved one day and lost the next. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And believer, how do we know we'll never perish? Because God has said, God has promised, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And what about our journey through life then? Didn't the Lord give us promises as we journey through this life? Many. Many are the promises that God has given to us. Perhaps one that we love quoting more than any other. When things are tough and not going so well for us in our lives, so we always remember the words of Paul in Hebrews 13 verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I often have been quoted that promise. I will never leave thee. God said that. I will never leave thee. He'll never abandon us. He'll never forsake us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Paul there was quoting the words that God spoke to Joshua when Joshua took over the leadership in Israel. After the death of Moses, God said to Joshua, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua 1 verse 5. And what did David say to a promise like that? David said, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 37 verse 25. David says, I have been young, but now I'm old. And he's saying that all through my life, from my childhood now to old age, not once have I seen God forsake his people. That's some testimony. You see, whenever God makes a promise, he keeps it. And so we see that the promises are divine. They come from God. They're not only divine, but they are definite promises. God said it, then we can be sure that God means it and God will fulfill it. They're definite. I'm sure through life you've met with someone that made you all kinds of promises. but didn't fulfill them. They let you die, made a promise, but it was never fulfilled. That's something will never happen with our God. There's nothing ambiguous about the promises of God. Every promise the Lord God gives is clear. It is plain. It is easily understood. And if God said it, then we can be sure God will do it. Take that to heart, believer. If God said it, then He'll do it. We all may know something about the great man of God, George Mueller. George Mueller had orphanages. He never asked anybody for anything from the orphanages. He depended completely on seeking God's face and God answering prayer for him. He prayed for two men, two friends of his. God promised that the Lord would save them. Well, when it came to the time for George Mueller to be called home to glory, those two men were not saved. But God kept His promise. One of those men was saved at George Mueller's funeral. And the other man was saved 2 months after Mueller died. God kept His promise. Boy, isn't it good. God kept His promise. And believer, what promises the Lord gives to you, you can depend on it. He'll keep the promise. As the psalmist has said, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." And since the promise has come to us from God, that means He's able. He is able. Whatever the promise is, He's able to fulfill it. No matter how impossible it appears. Turn, please, to Romans, the chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. There we read in verse 19. Romans 4, verse 19. "And being not weak in faith," that's Abraham, "he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God." What was that promise? God had promised Abraham a son. He promised Abraham and Sarah a son 25 years before, when Abraham was approximately 75 years of age. But Abraham had to wait 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You think of it. Sarah, 100 years of age. Naturally speaking, it was impossible for Sarah to bear a child at 100 years of age. Ah, but God promised. God promised. And God always keeps His promise. Again, no matter how impossible it appears, of God fulfilling a promise that He has made to us, if God made the promise, if God gave us the promise, God will keep the promise. God will fulfill it. The Lord said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so, believer, if God has given you a promise about some matter, no matter how difficult its fulfillment may appear to you, just remember that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So we have divine promises, we have definite promises, we have dependable promises. Isn't it wonderful to receive a promise from the one of whom Titus wrote in his epistle? Titus said, in hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie. God that cannot lie. Promised before the world began. Read those words again. In hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promise. Before the world began. So here's a promise, believer. Here's a promise that God made before the world began. Did he keep it? The promise he made before the world began, did he forget about it? No. Did he keep the promise? Yes. He kept that long-standing promise, the hour that you and I received, the hour that you and I received the gift of eternal life. That was the promise. In hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Imagine, God gave that promise before the world began. Before he created the sun and the moon and put the stars in their place, God made the promise. And as I say, the day that you and I were saved is the day the promise was fulfilled. He kept it. God doesn't give us promises to give us false hope. No. God gives us promises that we can lay hold upon for every situation in life. His promises give us hope. They give us hope because we can depend on his word. We can take God at his word. Praise the Lord. David again said in Psalm 119, verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I hope it. In thy word. As well as God's promises, we see also here in the words of Peter, they are great promises. Isn't that what Peter has said? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Whereby are giving unto us precious promises? No, exceeding great and precious promises. It's interesting. You look at those words in the original. They're rendered slightly differently. We have here and are authorized, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. If we were to look at the original, they would read as follows. Through which he has given to us the greatest precious promises. The greatest precious promises. So we have exceeding great precious promises. Yeah, we have the greatest precious promises. That tells me, first of all, these promises are superior because they're the greatest. No one can make the promises that God makes and keep them and fulfill them. Philippians 4 verse 19. He shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Nobody, but nobody can make a promise like that. Supply all your need according to his riches in glory. There is a promise that cannot be equaled by man, cannot be equaled by an army of men. No. Man may help in our time of need, but that help is limited. But when we consider God meeting our need, his help is limitless. That's who he is. For who can estimate? Who can estimate the value or measure the riches, his riches and glory? Cannot be done. I tell you, we're richer than millionaires. Better still, our God knows what we need even before the need appears to us. God already knows. He makes us promises that no one else could possibly make, no matter what the need is. Every promise of God that we find in the book, in the Bible, which for breadth and depth and width and height are immeasurable. That's the promises of God. They are, as the words mean, the greatest precious promises, because they are the promises of God. What did the Savior say? Matthew 19 verse 26. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God. That makes the promises of God precious and superior to anything that is ever made or promised by man. Not only do we have the promises are superior, because they're the greatest promises, but we think of the scope of God's promises. That is, God has a promise for every situation that we may face in life. We know the Lord. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God has planned all for us. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can go to God. And we can take his promises and plead those promises. And of course, time would not permit for us to go through all of God's precious promises. You know them yourself. But when you take time to read through the Word, the Lord will give you a word. He'll give you a word. He'll give you a promise that will meet the need of that day. He never fails. And you can rest in that promise. You can build in that promise. God will not let you down. His promises are more firm than the Rocky Mountains. They'll not give way. They are the promises of God. In this great book, you will find promises for time. You'll find promises for eternity. You'll find promises for yourselves. You'll find promises for your children. All in this book. Promises when you go to prayer. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. There it is. There's a promise when you go to prayer. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And you can take that to heart. Because those words were spoken by no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is the way, the truth. He is God. And he has made that promise. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So you have promises when you go to prayer. You have promises for life's pathway. When you go through life. Proverbs 3 verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There are promises regarding his presence. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41 verse 10. When it comes to pardon and forgiveness. Nehemiah 9 verse 17. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. That's our God. That's the one we have come to worship today. He's the God who sent his Son into the world to die for us on Calvary. And if God gave his Son, will he not freely give us all things? Freely give us all things, whatever we ask according to his will and purpose. God will give those things to us. So we could go on endlessly, because this book is full and overflowing with precious promises. Promises that are fitted for every situation that we may find ourselves in. We have a great God, worthy of all our praise. As well as having superior promises, because they're exceeding great. And we'll consider the scope of the promises for every situation we find ourselves in. We notice also they are sure promises, not empty promises. They're not made up of empty words. They are sure promises. All of God's promises come to us through Christ. We're in Christ. We're saved by Christ. And all that God gives comes to us through the Lord Jesus. Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. You get that? For all the promises of God in him, in Christ. All the promises of God in Christ are yea. God says yea. I'll keep that promise. Because it's made to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. You see that it is because we are in Christ that these promises are made to us and they're honored by the God of heaven, because we're in Christ and they're given to us in and through the Lord Jesus just again as Paul tells us in Hebrews 10 verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful, the promise. For he is faithful, the promise. What a blessing it is to know the Lord, to be saved by his grace, to have his word, to have Christ as our Savior and our friend, to be saved by the precious blood of Christ, and to have all these precious promises. We're a blessed and privileged people. Yeah, we're richer than millionaires. We may fail in our claiming those precious promises, but God will never fail in granting them to us if we claim them. And they hold, as already mentioned, the words of Paul, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Notice something. All the promises are in him, yea, and amen, to the glory of God. In other words, when we pray over a promise that God has given to us, and when God meets that need and fulfills that promise, we give the glory to God. And that should encourage us to pray over these promises, because we want to give God all the glory. We want God to have the glory in all things, in all things, that he might have the preeminence. And when God fulfills his promises to us, we'll give God the glory. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What the Lord said. We have considered then, we have before us God's promises. We have great promises. Finally, notice, they are given promises. Look at the words again of our text. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're given unto us. No, the promises were not given unto angels. We might say, oh, they were more deserving. But no, they're given unto us because Christ has bought us, Christ has saved us, Christ has washed us in his blood. Because we're in Christ, God has given those promises unto us. They're ours. They are ours. What does that speak to us of? Speak to us, first of all, of favor. We are favored. No, as I say, they were not given unto angels, but given unto us. Given unto all who are in Christ, saved by his precious blood. The thing of the believer, this book, from Genesis to Revelation, filled and overflowing with promises, and they're all given to us. Isn't that a marvelous thing? They're given to us because we are in Christ. With all such promises given to us, we might say again that the utmost wealth of heaven now lies at our feet. What is your need? Then ask for that need. For David said, Psalm 84 verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, from them that live holy lives. He'll not withhold from them that walk uprightly no good thing. We have a good and a giving God. Out of the infinite riches of Jesus, he giveth, and he giveth again. Savior himself said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And he goes on to say, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Anything. That's broad enough to take in whatever our needs are. Anything. Whatsoever. Anything. John 14, verses 13 and 14. As well as the favor. We're favored. We have the fellowship. God has given to us promises, as we have in our text. Those promises are to be prayed over. Those promises are to be claimed. And we spend time in prayer, bringing before God his promises. We are in fellowship with God. Prayer, we know, puts us in touch with heaven. And when we pray over these promises, we're in communion with the God of heaven. The one whose right arm moves the world to do anything for his people. And so let us, believer, take to heart what Peter has told us, and told us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The greatest promises are given to us. You know what we can say today? Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Take it to heart. He has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving God, we do bless thee for thy promises. For those, Lord, that we have been given by thee, we've taken them to the throne of grace, we've prayed over them, and O Lord, thou has answered. And so, dear Lord, I pray that even as a result of the words of Peter, that, Lord, we will be more ready to lay hold upon the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ, my Savior. Dear Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. Grant us all traveling mercy. We make our way home. Lord, again, remember those that need a touch from thyself. Keep us healthy, well, and safe. Be with us again this evening, Lord, as we again spend time around thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now, and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.